That guy went to Sprint, didn't he? Mr. Verizon, can you hear me now? Works for Sprint. Can you hear me now? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter number. Well, I can't even see it. There it is, 24. Luke 24. This is on. Cool. Amen. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but I know that I've seen on the news that California is trying to pass a bill that will ban the sale of Bibles in that state. That's where this country's come to. And if anybody needs some morality, it's that state. They need this book, but they're going to ban the sale of it. And I have to think that with that, it's going to be the ban of the use of it. And if you have one, who says they won't come and try to take it? Our country's in a sad place, a very sad place. And good thing we have the Lord. And what will we do without him? Probably. I don't know, but no more. And there's other books in there that they're getting rid of that the state of California deemed that the citizens of California are not allowed to read. And some other things. And it's one of them big bills. It's got 9,000 things in it. Nobody's going to read the whole thing until it passes. And then luckily there was a guy on TV that said, I read the thing, and they are trying to, in there is the ban of selling Bibles in California. What a day we live in. I really don't expect nothing less from California. If we could saw it off and let it float into the ocean, that'd be fine with me. Be no loss for us. All the liberals can go there, and they can hang out on the island of California. And then today I seen on some page that they're expecting a big earthquake there. I said, go ahead, ban the sale of Bibles and see what happens. And so God can take care of himself. And but I just thought it interesting that this is where this country has gone to. And Luke chapter number 24. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how they spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Remember. I wouldn't be too hard on them, because we forget things too that God has said to us. Sometimes we forget that he said he would never leave us or forsake us. He told us he would meet our needs. But how many times do we fret when a trial comes? He already said he would do that. Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the Mary mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And the words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that you heal my preacher, that he's able to fill the pulpit like he wants to. But Lord, I count it a privilege to be here tonight to preach. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take control of this service, that he would touch hearts and lives and change people's thoughts and minds. Lord, I pray that, and if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, that tonight would be their day, that they know that heaven's their home. Lord, I just pray that you'd work amongst the midst of your people. In Jesus' name I pray, Amen. I want you to look at verse 12 in that last sentence I read, that last part of that verse I read. Wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Many great things happened since Jesus called Peter to follow him back in Mark 1, 14 and 15. He saw all the miracles, even saw his mother-in-law healed. He saw the 5,000 fed, he even walked on water. Peter even saw Lazarus raised from the dead. He also saw demons cast out, the blind and crippled healed. Peter also had his momentary lapses of faith when he denied the Lord by the fire, when he said, I do not know the man. Now, after the resurrection, we find Peter looking in the empty tomb. And after taking a moment and looking around, he starts to wonder about those things which have come to pass. I believe he went back to the beginning and relived the last 3.5 years of his life. Have you ever wondered about those things which God has brought to pass in your life? I believe as Peter looked into the tomb, he remembered the day when Jesus said he would rise again. I entitled this sermon, Think on These Things. The Bible says that Peter stooped down in there and looked around, and he started wondering in himself that which has come to pass. Have you ever just taken some time to think about the things God has done for you? The things that God has brought you through, the things that you went into and God has pulled you out of the other side, and all the good things God has done for you, wondering about those things. I can't help but to reminisce sometimes on the things God has done for me. I can't believe the things He's done for me. He gave me 5 kids. As far as I know, they're all saved. They're all what the world would call good people. He's blessed me with a great wife. One that has followed me from the very beginning. When I told her we were going to go into evangelism, she didn't fight, buck. She said, if that's what God wants, that's what we'll do. But I wonder sometimes about the great things that God has done for me. And I wonder when Peter got in that tomb and he stooped down and he looked around in there and Jesus wasn't there. I believe that his mind went back to the first day he ever met the Lord. And those memories all started coming back. All them days with the disciples and his close friends and the things that Jesus done and all the miracles. Remembering what was done. And the resurrection. Me and Pastor Meyer had a discussion not long ago. Are you a Wednesday crucifixion or a Thursday crucifixion? We know it wasn't Friday. Amen. I hope you're not all surprised by that, but you can count as many ways as you want. You can't get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday unless you're doing some bad math. Unless you're doing common core math. But the fact that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again on the 3rd day, God accepted the sacrifice for our sins. And because of that, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the resurrection demands a decision about salvation. Do you understand? From that day forth, every man that has lived had to make a decision or has to make a decision about salvation. It's demanded. You have to make a decision. You're either going to get saved or you're going to die and go to hell. But the decision is yours. But the decision is necessary. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 2 Corinthians 6, 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, a decision must be made about salvation. You don't get there by works. You said, Brother Lancaster, we're all Baptists. We're all here on a Sunday night. We're all saved. Maybe. I don't know that. I will tell you this. If Brother Terry Kendrick, Evangelist Terry Kendrick's been on the road for over 40 years, and after 35 years in the ministry, his wife walked an aisle and got saved. So I would be a fool to think there might not be somebody in this room that's not saved tonight. I don't know. You're the only one that knows. But the decision is demanded of us today. Are we going to get saved or are we not going to get saved? You say, well, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, you just did. I'm not going to make a decision. Well, then you can enjoy hell. The decision to be saved needs to be made. Hebrews 9:27, as the appointed a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, that is an appointment we will all keep. I know as a man, we like to, when we get doctor's appointment, we like to switch the date when it gets close. Oh, I can't make it today. Can I come next week? And then next week comes and, oh, I can't make it today. Can I make it tomorrow? But we're going to keep that appointment. Judgment day is coming. Every day that passes, we're getting one day closer. But the death, burial, and resurrection demands a decision about salvation. Jesus died for our sins. But do you understand that he was also found guilty of our sins? God turned his back because he could not look on his son because of our sins. A decision needs to be made about salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection demands a decision about salvation. Secondly, it demands a reflection about our dedication. God just won't let me get away. God just won't let me get away about being an all-in Christian. You know, there's a term. There's a term used in poker. When you throw all your money into the center, they call that all-in. That means every bit of money you got on the table goes in the center, and they call that all-in. Is everything you got? Everything you got, is it all in for the Lord? Have you laid it all on the table? To God, here it all is. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not halfway in. I'm not a quarter of the way in. I'm not three quarters. I'm all in. See, there's an apathy in our churches across this whole country. And I've seen it myself. You know, we're dedicated to all kinds of stuff. Dare I say that God should be first? If our dedication of other things takes us away from God, if our dedication of other things takes us away from God, that's not spiritually healthy. Not spiritually healthy. Listen, you have family. Some of you have kids. But when you lay out a church, what are you teaching your kids? My kids never had to wonder in over 20 years if on Sunday morning I was getting up and going to church. That's what we did. Now, sometimes they were hard to wake up, but they knew we were going to church. Hey, listen, There was a couple times Zach had to ride his bike to church because I said, I'm leaving. If you're not ready, I'm going. But they know where we're going on Sundays. My phone never rings on Sunday morning because everybody knows where I'm at. Nobody calls me on Sunday night because they know where I'm at. Listen, what he did for us demands a reflection of your dedication to him. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. I know Paul, the author of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. I'll turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul also, or author of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, for Demas, wait, we just read over here, Demas greeted thee. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now we know later on Demas comes back and serves the Lord with Paul, but for a brief period of time, Demas left the work of God for the world. All I'm trying to say is, are you dedicated to God? I'm telling you, I try to get away from this subject, and God keeps putting it on me and putting it on me and putting it on me about being dedicated, about being an all-in Christian, not a half-in Christian. You know, how immature we must look when we quit on God for the most insignificant things. We must stay dedicated despite the fact that we face giants in our lives. We must be dedicated in the valley. We must be dedicated in our trials. We must be dedicated on the mountain. But let me ask you, if you asked the person next to you how dedicated you are, what would their answer be? The problem is sometimes we feel as God is not taking care of us like he should. And because of that, we have the right to quit. Listen, our consequences should not determine our dedication. Our circumstances should not dedicate our dedication. If anybody had the right to quit, it would have been Job. And all that trial that Job went through, he stayed dedicated to God. He said, yet will I trust him, even if he slays me. Job didn't give up, and God gave him more than he ever had. But if anybody had ever had a right to walk out the church door and never to come back, it would have been Job, but he didn't. If we had to go through a Job experience, what would be the outcome? Because God puts a little heat and a little pressure on us, we want to quit. But can I remind you that heat and pressure brings forth diamonds? See, he wants to grow us. He wants to give us that more faith. Our faith is weak in this country. See, because we can go down to the ATM machine. We used to call it Tap Mac. But you could go down to the ATM machine and grab some money. You could probably just go to the bank and get a loan. You might have some money in the bank. And I'm not saying having money is a bad thing. But does God got control of everything you got? And are you 100% dedicated to his will for your life? Oh, it's easy to say we are till the pressure comes. I remember a day in this church, three quarters of the church walked out. And there was 6 to 8 people left in the church. But you know, this church had been around a long time because people have been dedicated to God. It would have been real easy for that man right there to shut the doors of this church after that happened and skip town and go start another church somewhere else. But because of dedication to God, you're here tonight. I've been here for 25 years. This church has been in existence how long? 1837. That's a long time. But you know what? That's only happened because people were dedicated to God. There's churches all over this country that are closing. Closing the doors. 1837. Only dedication could keep the church open that long in the Lord. How long? 181 years. Charlie, that's almost as old as you are. Number three, the resurrection demands an action concerning propagation, preaching. You know, the will of God is that everybody gets saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul saw the importance of preaching the gospel. That's the mandate of the church. It's to preach the gospel. Every Sunday school class. Are all my teachers here? Listen to me. I know you're going to do a craft, and I know you're going to hand out cookies and milk and all kinds of stuff. But if those kids do not get the gospel every week, you failed. Because that is our job. A clear presentation of the gospel every week in Sunday school is necessary. I hope you agree with that. It's okay to have fun and do all kinds of things and bring cookies and I'll even eat some. But listen, the gospel is the most important thing in Sunday school. The gospel, bus workers, is the most important thing on the bus ministry. Those kids should hear the gospel before they even get to church on the bus. And then in Sunday school, they get the gospel again. And then in junior church, they get the gospel again. You said, you're trying to fill them up with the gospel. Exactly. I can probably guess that those kids' homes aren't the greatest on earth. Soul winning, teen ministry, jail ministry, nursing home ministry, etc. All things, the gospel must have priority. Everything that's said and done should have the gospel in it that comes from this church. Number one, because it's commanded in Matthew 28 and Acts 1. Number two, because of our love for lost people. I bet you're glad that somebody shared the gospel with you. I bet you're glad that somebody knocked on your door, invited you to church, left a tract somewhere. However you got saved, I think you should be happy that somebody took the opportunity to do something to help you get to the Lord. All we can do is return the favor. I didn't do it yesterday, and I kicked myself last night. We're out here working, and all those people were parked here going over to the auction. I said, man, we ought to put a track on every car. They're in our parking lot. What are you doing to try to get somebody saved? Let me do this. if you were saved on a Sunday or Sunday morning, Sunday night, but you were saved on a Sunday, stand up. If you were saved on a Monday, stand up. And stay standing. If you were saved on a Tuesday, stand up. A Wednesday. How about Thursday? How about Friday? How about Saturday? How about you don't know the day someday, but you did get saved? Look around. Somebody shared the gospel with somebody because they were dedicated. Go ahead, you can have a seat. It works. Everybody in this church was standing. It works. You know, I kick myself because I never wear, outside of Sundays, I very rarely wear a shirt with a pocket. So I can't have tracks in there. Every time I see someone, I don't got one. So I guess I got to start wearing shirts with pockets. The resurrection demands this action concerning our propagation. And fourthly, and lastly, the resurrection demands a thought about our destination. Over in Revelation chapter 1, you can read all the beautiful stones that are in the wall of heaven by the gates. I can't pronounce half of them. It's a beautiful place. The inhabitants in verse 24 are saved people. The reunions we'll have with loved ones, our introduction to all the saints that have gone before us, and we get to worship the Lord. But best of all, Jesus is there. I don't know if it's me, preacher, but I rarely hear people talk about heaven. Did you ever come upon a conversation where somebody's talking about heaven? Why not? Hey, we're headed there. And it's all described for us in the book. How many got loved ones in heaven? My grandmother's there. She got saved in this church when it was on the other side of the wall at the age of 74. That's going to be a day. Why don't we think about heaven? Why don't we talk about it? Now, I'm not looking to get on the first bus. But man, what a beautiful place. We never talk about it. We don't. I like to think about it. And it's all mine because of what Jesus did for me. Back to the very beginning. The death, burial, and resurrection gives me the ability to go to heaven. That beautiful city. Man, I can't wait to see Paul and talk to those guys. And man, what a day. What a day. I know a man that, I don't know how he did it. He's from over there. Well, his parents are from over there. He traced his family roots all the way back. I don't know how they proved it or how he proved it, but his family roots all the way back to Simon, who carried the cross for Jesus. I said, wow. His dad owns the property that the Chicago Bulls Arena sits on. He told him, he said, son, by the time you're 18, I can make you a millionaire. You'll never have to work a day in your life. He said, but one condition, he says, you can't go to Bible college. Can I tell you, he's a youth pastor? Right now, he wasn't then when I met him. He was a youth pastor in West Virginia, but he's a youth pastor now at First Baptist Church of Hammond. His name's Abdel Judah. His dad said, I'll give you $1 million if you don't go to Bible college. He said, you know what? My dedication to God is more than money. So what would have you done if he would offer $1 million? I have no idea. I'm glad he didn't ask me. It's a lot of money. So what's your dedication in? The resurrection demands a decision about salvation. It demands a reflection about our dedication. It demands an action concerning our propagation. And it demands a thought about our destination. Why wouldn't we talk about heaven? If we believe it's real, why wouldn't we talk about it? Why wouldn't we know more about it? Just want to ask you tonight, are you all in? Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the ability to preach. Lord, thank you for this place. Lord, been part of my life for a long time. I pray that you continue to bless it, the restoration. Pray that you bless it to grow. I pray that you bless it to reach Easton and Peaburg and Allentown and all the surrounding areas. Lord, I pray for those kids that come every day on the Sunday school bus. I pray, Lord, that we could reach them and their families. Father, I just ask you to bless here. Lord, I don't know the hearts of these people. You do. But Lord, if there's somebody who needs to come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with you, I pray they do it. Not because I preached, because you laid something on their heart. Father, I pray that you bless this invitation today.